Hey, it's behind the scenes. That's where the robber is plotting and planning. He's looking over the bank. He's looking over the house. He's looking over the one that he, is going to steal from. And so there's some, plotting and some planning in what's going to be done. And all of that is usually done behind the scenes. And listen, we know that evil lurks behind the scenes. Even Jesus taught that parable about the sower. The Son of Man goes out, sows the word of God, and transformation, salvation occurs. The wheat begin to grow. But then during the night, the evil one comes. Again, when nobody can see and nobody can detect, and he begins to build the tares. All of a sudden, people begin to look around the world and say, where in the world has this globalism come from? Where in the world has all this, where's all the money going? The economic system is all being siphoned off. Where's the money going? Why are there so many people that seem to have voices in their head, visitations in their bedrooms, possession going on? When we look around and we see that politics and military and the economic systems are infected, what about the destabilization? Everybody knows that there is clearly something wrong. Now listen, tonight, Friday night, 2010, July, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. On the web. And this is the hour that we have in God's providence. Welcome to all the live listeners, all the new friends that have been writing to us, both in your great comments and commitment to prayer and in the commitment for support. We deeply appreciate that. It looks like the doorways are swung wide open, and so we are grateful to God for his movement, and for your support. Tonight, as we look at the last in the series this week, the last in the series, again, ShatterTheDarkness.net, in the week, starting every Monday, when you look at the site, it'll talk about the topic for the week, and then it will go over Monday through, all the way to Sunday, actually. But on this live program, Monday through Friday, the titles of each one. And we've gone through the long history of this behind-the-scenes battle. We've gone through the revelation of the failures of the dark side, the issue of the blood of the Lamb, which I don't think we really spent enough time on because of what the blood represents, the defeat of sin, the defeat of Satan, the defeat of hell, the defeat of death, and the opening of the door to make us right, to justify any human being that believes in God. I mean, as if you've never sinned, as clean and clear as the blood of Christ. That's why when people get saved, receive Christ, they'll say burdens have gone away. They've got peace with God. All the guilt is gone. Well, that's the effect the Spirit of God brings based on Christ and the blood of the Lamb. And that blood speaks of the authority, the sovereign, infinite authority over all the dark side, over all the defeat of the dark side. So every believer needs to understand that, you're saved by Christ, and the blood of Christ is affected in that salvation. Read Romans 4 and 5 and you will see, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. But it's also involved in our victory over the full force of dark presence and power. So understand that Christ and the shedding of his blood, the blood of the Lamb, involves. See, in the New Age and the ufologists, the Masons, the Rosicrucians, all the other stuff out there that comes up with a counterfeit, de-deified, little pocket-sized fake Christ, they're not going to talk about the cross. They're not going to talk about the blood of Christ. So Wednesday, I hope we just gave you a little more of a shot, and we encourage you to get the little book by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray called simply The Blood of Christ, or The Power in the Blood. Great devotional study and good revelation of the Scripture. Very good little book. Thursday night, The Person, Knowledge and Fury of the Fallen One that we got into. And then on tonight, The Tracking of the Dark Presence. Now listen, seeing the devil for all he has, is, and will do. Now let me tell you something, and let me ask you, why in the world would anybody want to track this evil presence? Anybody in military knows, the more you know about your enemy, the more you know about the weapons of the enemy, the more you know about the movement of the enemy, the more you know how they, well, the MO, how they fight and what they do, where they're at, what they're plotting, what they're planning, what their playbook is all about, then you've got a sense of superior ability and help. That's what biblical revelation is all about concerning this dark presence. If you void out, as some would, the devil out of all of Scripture, out of all of everything. Again, I was listening to this guy the other night connecting ufology and saying that he's, you know, a Bible scholar, but he wasn't. And again, nixing out the reality of a real devil. And here again, then, you're left with the fall of the human race, death, pain, war, all the junk that's going on, even possession. And we've seen an unprecedented amount. I've watched over the last 30 years the increase in numbers. I cannot tell you, in our little offices in Akron, Ohio, years ago, we took in people from 50 other churches that sent us their folks. Why they wouldn't do it? Well, because, again, lack of biblical discipleship, lack of biblical appropriation, and I will say obedience to Christ. Tonight, as we delve into this issue of tracking, what's behind the scenes, some of the evidences of the ramping up of the dark side, and the realization that Revelation chapter 12 is a massive, massive revelation. It is special revelation. It is specific revelation. It is selected revelation that God has given to give a panoramic view of the past, the very far past, but also not so far, the present and the future. One thing the past, the present, and the future have in common is that the work of this dark side, the fallen cherub, and all of that agenda is always operative, always at work, always doing what they do, with the ultimate goal of ramping up in such a way that it affects the world in every single way as never before in human history. So with the kind of heads up that Christ gives, with the kind of heads up the Spirit of God has given, and with Revelation chapter 12, listen, if you understand Revelation 12, you understand that God now reveals a massive, massive picture of a huge, enormous, well, megas, drakon. This is the full force of the satanic presence. This is God saying and showing that the fallen cherub plays a massive, factor in human history. You cannot read. I've got Will Durant somewhere in this office. I'm looking around. I think it's 13 volumes. Volumes and volumes on history and Spengler and all the rest in reading history. I don't know how you can read history and understand history without understanding this presence. I don't know how we can live our lives as human beings individually without understanding this malevolent presence that not only hates God, seeks to operatively blind minds and hearts. Well, wouldn't it bug you if you knew that your mind and life was being blocked, blinded, and stopped from seeing. I mean, if somebody out there wants to see God, wants to know the reality of God, please understand there's opposition. There's something against you. And this is what Revelation 12 again brings out. Constantly biting at Israel, constantly developing the tribes and the demonization of tribes, Goliath, the Nephilim, all the rest, constantly trying to defeat and destroy Israel. Preempting biblical prophecy, Satan personally was there at the birth of Christ into the world. So as you read the panoramic view in Revelation 12, you're going to read about this. You're going to read about the fact that it's evident to me from the biblical revelation that Satan clearly knows that biblical prophecy is potent, that it is up to this day infallible, irrevocable, indestructible, unstoppable, but yet he attempts it. If you read 1 John 3:8, here's what it says. The reason the Son of God came into the world was to destroy the devil's works. See, the clear assumption, the revelation, the massive amount of revelation about the fallen cherub and all of his activities from the fall of the human race to this day, it's a vital issue. It involves what occurred in the beginning. It involves what occurs along the way. It involves the coming of God in human flesh and the attempted destruction of God. The interruption of the life of Christ, stopping the redemption that would be purchased at the cross. And the unceasing barrage of warfare on the body of Christ, the church, the ramping up. And what's going to happen? Listen, there's no end of the world. Listen now. No end of the world without the pinnacle, apex of satanic, demonic manifestation and agenda in politics, military, economics, environment, and in the destruction of up to 4 or more billion human beings overall in less than a 7-year period. So I think it's a major, major, major cutting edge tool that God has given. It's way beyond Webbot, way beyond Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Sylvia Brown, the psychics and remote viewers put together. Way, way beyond the bloodthirsty, human sacrificing Mayans of the past. Here's what we need to get a heads up on concerning the real enemy of the human race, the one that is living his existence out to keep a barrier between you and I and God. And obviously, constantly sowing the disinformation of the character of God, maligning God, slandering God. I don't know if you've ever been in a deliverance where, you know, demons actually are dwelling in human beings, and when they surface and they begin to speak out, I've never seen one demon speak any good word about God. They come out mocking and blaspheming and cussing and vulgar, filthy language until we tell them, shut up in the name of Christ. And then sometimes they're thrown to the ground. They go out. That's why, look at Acts 8. It's why they go out with screams. Think about it now, especially Satanists, real Satanists, Luciferians, those familiar with the presence and power of the dark side. That the entities, thousands of millennia old, powerful than sheer humankind, more powerful, more able, more of everything, but at the name of Christ. It doesn't happen if you say, in the name of Quetzalcoatl. It doesn't happen if you say, in the name of Muhammad. It doesn't happen if you say, in the name of Buddha. It doesn't happen. but a believer in whom Christ dwells. And listen, they know the difference. If a New Ager or somebody else tries to use the name of Jesus Christ, like in the book of Acts, where the demon said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And the demon threw the human being, attacked them. They went out with their clothes ripped off, bloody and beaten. Does the New Age understand this dark side? Does the massive bulk of thousands of books written, guided spiritually by New Age authors, do they give the revelation specific, selected, and clear concerning the real activities of the dark side, the nature of the dark side, the origins of the dark side, and the agenda of the dark? No. No, they don't. Here's a rule. Here's a rule that's absolutely clear. Demons in and of themselves will never tell on themselves. Demons don't tell on themselves. When they're approaching individuals, it's always a masquerade. It's always a deception. They are predators who perceive and they observe, and they do much more before they ever make contact. They've got powers that go beyond fallen human capacities of perception, discernment, understanding. So when individuals are obtaining non-human enhancements, supernatural enhancements, but they clearly didn't come from God, let me guarantee you that supernatural non-human enhancements will never tell the truth about what they are, what's behind their mask, why they're doing what they're doing, why they're giving what they're giving. And obviously, they'll do all they can to preoccupy and distract and keep people from the compassion, the heart, the reality of being able to know God personally and eternally. Let me just take a moment to stop and say, once again, welcome to everyone coming in tonight live. It's great to hear from you. So if you get a chance, send us an email. And listen, we've already seen thousands and thousands now downloading the archives. And we're going to ask you that every once in a while, just send us a note where you're from. Even if it just tells us where you're from, we'd like to know. And we appreciate you being a part. We're glad to hear all that we have heard, and obviously some really new and good friends have connected and are behind now this live project. Now, again, people have asked, and for 2 years we've never said a word, but with the new program live and our responsibility to take care of it and all that we do, it goes out collectively, what we do goes out to 80 nations. Collectively, 1,600,000 downloads, not just of these live archived messages, but of the training material, discipleship material, teaching material, et cetera, et cetera. If you've gone to shatterthedarkness.net, you've begun to see. I know it's overwhelming at first. I get letters after letters after letters saying, it's too much. But all I say is take your time. Go back again and again. It's like going to a big store, hopefully a spiritual, you know, that's like a somewhere good that you want to go. It's like me when I go to a bookstore. I want to stay in there, take a cup of coffee, look around, see what I want, you know, look at this, look at that. And it's all free. And here's what we do have on there, and we'll only take about 30 seconds to let you know. If you want to help out the entire project, both live and everything else we're doing, we welcome you to do that. We are really covered well now live for quite some time. And we are going to let you know that we do not use commercial products as commercials and business backing, things like that. So we just simply say on our site, there's a phrase, you can help this work. If you do click on that, you can read all about how you can. And we are now saying We invite your investment and support. Thanks again for the emails and kind words from a number of folks, and we're getting back from weeks ago. We've been so far behind, but now we are catching up on a daily basis with everybody writing in, and we even had phone calls today out of Wisconsin and out of Colorado. Matter of fact, I just got off the phone with an individual out of Colorado. They had listened to many parts of the materials when we were on with Stan Monteith. So we also have the newsletter that just got posted today, the first July newsletter. Again, simply going to shatterthedarkness.net, top right-hand corner, the Preemptor newsletter. It's going to tell you about two conferences coming up. Las Vegas, Nevada, and there's a listing of L.A. Marzulli going to be there. Connie Huff's going to be there. And we're going to see Mr. Hoffman there. And, of course, Dante, Minister Dante is going to be there sponsoring the conference. Anyway, you can go to Shatter's site and click on where it talks about the conference in Las Vegas. And they've got a website already posted. And then the individual who's set up conferences around here, Mansfield and in Nashville, Tom, is setting up one in Canton, Ohio. He's marking it down for October the 1st and 2nd. And he's got another nationally known book author, speaker, listen, most of you will know the name. And soon as he gives me the permission to say it, and say that it's nailed down, and I would say from what the email I got from Tom that it looks like 99% of it's all nailed down and sure. But by Monday, maybe I'll be able to tell you of the nationally known, and probably thousands of you have already heard him, and he's going to be there. It'll be the first time that I've done a conference with this individual, and I am looking forward to it because I respect his work and respect his positions. And it's going to be a great conference in Canton, Ohio. Another one coming up. We'll give you more info as we get it in Orange County, California. And yes, if you want us to come to your area, let us know. And we can work on, we don't mind doing a small conference, a large conference. We love doing evangelistic crusade work with a church on a weekend basis. So just let us know. We'd love to be there. For those that have been downloading, and I want to say specifically Russia, because the Russian spies today, and again, but what goes on behind the scenes? Well, now there's this big meeting between Russian airplanes and in the United States, and they've met, I believe now, we're in Austria, and there's an exchange of spies. This is really kind of a historic thing. It really is. And spies are being exchanged, and it is, cloak and dagger kind of things. Beyond the cloak and dagger, the old Cold Wars, the Psy War developments, and the placement of spies in nations around the world. Listen, we've got spies in America from the Middle East, from Russia, from China, from North Korea, from South America, all over the United States. We live in a volatile world, and there's no trust in this broken, fallen world. That's why there's nations and defense departments and battles and the history of war. Behind the scenes, there is one that causes war. Behind the scenes, there is one that makes war, inspires hideous crime. Behind the scenes of history, past, present, and near future, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, gives a massive, massive, but specific overview. It'll grant you great understanding. It'll grant you great insight. Even in the coming of Messiah, the attempted destruction, devouring, murder of Christ, and then of Israel. And then, of course, now the body of Christ. Now, it talks about verse 7 down about a war in heaven, the spiritual war in the angelic realm. a lot of people into angels nowadays. But it's not what they think. They're engaging. See, fallen angels can still appear as a translucent, beautiful white light type thing. You know, what's very clear is engagement with any angel. If it's an angel of God, like in the book of Revelation, they know Christ. They knew and said, as Gabriel did, who he is, what it's all about. They're involved. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, in reference to angels, probably over 65 times, they're involved in the prayers and the answers that occur. They're involved in the judgments. They're involved in all of this. They're involved right now as I speak. If you remember when Peter was in prison and at Rhoda's house, a small prayer group was thundering the prayers. They didn't know it, but God dispatched an angel that blinded the guards, caused iron chains to come off his arms, got him up, spoke to him, led him out where iron barred gates, it says, opened all by themselves. And the angel gave him the message to go on. Peter went to Rhoda's house. I'm going to tell you that that's the kind of powerful praying. And then as God answers prayer, as God moves, we don't have to stand there. You know, some people want to specify how God should answer a prayer. Let God do that. Our mind's like the size of a peanut, okay? How are we going to calculate? Let God, in the amazing way God does, answer prayer. But many times it's with direct agency of angels, and they're at work. There's battle behind the scenes. Obviously, the Michael-Satan angelic battle is clear in the revelation that Satan and his angels lost. And we see a couple of times in this chapter this dark presence personality. Listen, this dark side, it emanates experiences, events, energy, presence, ideas, all kinds of stuff. But behind all of that are the entities who are sending them. That's my passion concerning even psychics and specifically the remote viewers. I can only tell you the Spirit of God has I've woken up in the middle of night just to pray for certain remote viewers. It's true. It's considered a military strategy at one point. At least Ingo Swann and others that first brought it in were weaponizing the process. And the idea of the sanitized or the technical remote viewing, or coordinate remote viewing, you know where it came from? Listen, do you know where it came from? Ingo Swann was in a swimming pool. And the ideas popped into his head. If you already have the precursors of New Age spirits and of that side, it's very easy in the development of what that dark side ultimately wants and needs for that dark side to pop into the mind ideas. Actually, you can find that in a number of places, but if you need to, we quoted Jim Mars out of his book, Psi Spies, that experience of Ingo Swann, one of the monarchs that I was involved with for years, talking to and ministering to, was directly engaged and had learned from Ingo. So, and we attempted to write Ingo years ago, and we got his email address, but there was never a response. But prayers, who's going to stop a prayer? Satanist one day, deeply committed Satanist that was specifically attending a church to bring down the pastor and his wife. I had obtained their book of shadows. The goal of the rituals and the activity was to destroy them, if not kill them. When I engaged the individual the first time and began to talk to them, I said, "Let me pray for you." They turned to me, vehemently cussed me out, screamed at me, ran up the outside stairs, and slammed their apartment door. I smiled. I literally laughed because I knew. Is the closed door going to stop the hand of God? Is it going to keep prayers from being answered? Please understand, you could pray for somebody halfway around the world. Please understand that even before we come on live, all those places of download, even near the Vatican where they download our materials, someone's listening. Bangalore, India, 6-7 cities throughout China, Japan and Canada and Australia and Alaska and Scotland and Ireland and England and Spain and France and Italy, all over, and Luxembourg and Sweden, and again, naming the nations, naming the cities, the Isle of Malta. I was in Greece. I was amazed at some of the places. No question, not everybody would be on my side that is downloading and listening. Some do it to monitor, some do it for reconnaissance, some do it to gain the sound of my voice, to gain a point of contact, to do a ritual and send a spirit. See, the body of Christ does not understand satanic ritual, specifically sent warfare, targeted warfare. And the dark side counts on that. And if you've heard our discussion and our work and the release of the next chapter, 500 million rituals. Listen, I'm dealing with Revelation 12 right now, and you got to understand something. Not only did God give us insight in the Old Testament where satanic rituals were used in weaponization of winning military battle, let alone of obtaining powers and doing human sacrifices, and done in battles, nations that fought Israel would do human sacrifice and rituals and call on the demon gods of war. And do you think for a moment that militaries would not want the advantage of supernatural powers, supernatural engagements? I was reading the brand new information about the NSA and their desire. I don't know if you've read this. We put it on the newsletter. It is out. And again, monitoring everything, that kind of thing. But the NSA, bigger than just about any of the other intelligence agencies and so forth, and massive capacities there. But if anybody knows about Dan Sherman, who says that he worked there, it's never been debunked. His book is listed as he worked there, and he was an intuitive, and he was connected to a machine where he was to receive communication from non-human intelligence. Question to the NSA, and if it's true that they're monitoring just about everything, you know, and I can see the snickering that is going on. As if you're able to do this in pure secrecy. As if God does not see. Let me give a word to all those who operate behind the scenes. All of those who are believe that even those soaked in satanic, see, the satanic powers of secrecy, there's even rituals, the rituals that involve invisibility to hide what is going on, to blind the opposition. Listen, for all of those that believe that they're operative and they're able to move secret, and it gives a sense of elitism, and it does give a sense of surprise and superiority and so forth. Sneak attack and all the rest. But let's just say Echelon, let's just say NSA, and all the monitoring that goes on. I talked to somebody today from long distance on the other side of the country, and they talked about their phone clicking and that they're being monitored and on and on and on and on. And it's probably true. Not in every case, but it can be clearly true. But there's an incredible thing for those that are there that will monitor, even if it's just simply InfoGuard. God says, Hebrews 4, I don't know if you ever read this or not, but here's what it says. That nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The NSA is, in many people's view, massive. But in comparison to what I just read, they don't have omniscience, omnipresence. Collect all the agencies together. Even the sum total of the activity of hell and the devil himself. No omniscience. The sense of confidence among some remote viewers that they'll be able to remote view anything, everything, here, there, wherever, reinterpret Christ, reinterpret history, reinterpret all kinds of things, get information. They claim it a human thing, but it's not. Human capacities involved, but it's outside non-human enhancement from whether you call it the collective unconscious, the Akashic records, the field, the data that's dropped into the unconscious part of the remote viewer that becomes the picture, that becomes what you write on the paper. Where did it come from? You know, when you close your eyes and you get ready, who plugs into who in order to see a filing cabinet in a Russian military base, to look at a submarine, to locate the missing girl Holloway? The accuracy issue is a very big problem, but let me tell you something, that because of what we're talking about, what really is going on behind the scenes, everything in biblical revelation, specifically New Testament, specifically the book of Revelation, it's kind of prepped for us in the Old Testament, specifically Psalm 2. But I'm going to say again to all the military friends out there, all the folks, all the agencies, all the political individuals, that regardless, even if you snicker at the fact of, well, there's a devil, listen, if you reject God now, reject the concept of a devil now, and you die, you're going to see the devil face to face. You're going to wish you had listened. Behind the scenes of history, American, Canadian, European, all the rest, there is a driving force to change political ideology. There is a critical mass consciousness, well, in the air, communicating to minds and hearts, bringing a pulsating persuasion to the masses of people, to the nations, and directly the kings of the earth. I can only beg those who know more about Bohemian Grove than even Alex Jones has exposed. Every left-hand path person, I can't tell you they're going to tell you the truth, but there are those that will talk, will tell you that the ritual done, the so-called cremation of care, that ritual is similar to the ritual that we find in Revelation chapter 16. By the way, I did not plan on going from the seven seals and the four horses and the prophetic dramatic revelation into this chapter. I may go to chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way to 19. I might just go this way. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we're led. You let me know. Send me an email. But I want you to understand that behind the scenes, well, here, let me give you four distinct, specific evidences of the satanic presence of the entity that is actually operative. I'd only urge you to do your own Bible study. Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative, supernaturally operative in hearts and lives that do not have the Spirit of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, that in accordance with the work, supernatural operative work of Satan, is coming the rise or the apocalypse of Antichrist and the counterfeit miracles and all the rest. Now, again and again and again, we can find the fact that biblical God has desired to teach the body of Christ in exposing the dark side and letting others know this is how the enemy works. This is how he sends those arrows that affect you with lies that bring oppression, that bring depression. And this is what you do to defeat that so that you can stand filled with the Spirit of God, filled with confidence, filled with the joy of the Lord, and filled in the power and presence of God for the sake of mission. If you don't know your enemy, you haven't read a third, a massive, massive segment of the New Testament. If you don't know how he operates, what he does, your own life may be constantly bitten, pushed down. You know how many believers I know? Again, realize I was a pastor in local churches for 30 years. I was a director of a youth ministry 15 of those years. And then in Shatter, we've been involved with thousands and thousands of lives of believers too. A lot of defeated believers. A lot of believers coming into the offices. You know what I said many times? If they would have been discipled right, and if they would have been putting into practice the Word of God, they would never need to come and see me in a counseling situation. Most believers don't even know they have the authority of Christ, Luke 10. Most believers that do know they have the authority are not using it in any effective way. Do you have the armor of God on? I'm thinking that maybe in the Canton Conference of the Friday and the Saturday, the hours that I get to speak, I might do this in Las Vegas. One of those hours, I may spend one big screaming hour on the discipleship foundations of spiritual warfare, knowing what to do, authority, armor, action, alertness, etc. Because, again, knowing this enemy, I hate to see what he does. A liar, a murderer, a deceiver. He steals the life out of you. That's individually. But here, Revelation 12, what's he called? He's called, verse 9, the Megas Drakon, the huge, the enormous dragon. This is, again, the Spirit of God gives a picture of this actual entity. Here, God is giving it. People have said before, you know, why talk about the devil and glorify him? Are you going to shut the mouth of God? Are you going to tell the Holy Spirit to shut up? Are you going to tell the, I mean, are you going to go through the New Testament and cut out a third or more of it that relates to this? Is there anybody that will preach verse by verse all the counsel of God for the sake of the body of Christ that hungers spiritually, that's weak and swaggers like a beaten man in an alley? The church swaggers, wounded, not knowing what hits it, because the lack of the revelation of the powerful Word of God operative in our lives. What a shame. And so our need to repent and turn around right now, listen, the quicker you do that, the better. The possibilities of you growing stronger. Do you remember what Jesus said about the sowing of the word? How some will take the word of God. You don't have to wait for your denomination. You don't have to wait for anybody else. You can take the word of God, put it into practice yourself. And Jesus says that some, by doing this, will produce 30% more. Some will produce 60% more than was sown. Some will produce 100 times as much. You realize what can be done? Quit listening to the devil in degrading you. Quit listening to yourself degrade yourself, self-curses, that you can't do anything, you can't win a soul, you can't become powerful in prayer, you can't do... Quit listening to that junk and that lie that keeps you stuck outside the will of God that involves dynamic development to make you so powerful as a believer. Wow, we need some powerful believers today, don't we? Here's four of the signs. If you say, how do you track the devil? People have asked that for years as we've done occult crimes and dealing with covens and being back in the middle of fields in the middle of the night and being out there doing all these kind of things and searching for ritual sites and engaging what is considered the secret power of lawlessness. It's like the secret coven that met in Israel, in Jerusalem, and not even Ezekiel the prophet knew that it was going on for years and years and years and years until God, and here's what I believe, this is why I'm saying, go listen to the series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. It's got about 8 hours worth of it now. I'm going to put another 8 hours to it. But there's a couple of there for law enforcement involved in occult crimes, satanic crimes. If you don't understand the spiritual nature and what's behind the scenes, I am convinced experientially that dark powers can aid in the cover-up of crime. Yep. Diverting officers. That specific rituals among the drug lords. The drug lords, the Abakwa, Palamaomi, to do rituals against law enforcement. There are law enforcement agents in South America, Mexico, that are packed with fear over this issue. Is there anybody going to teach them the authority of Christ, spiritual warfare? Is there any law enforcement agent that would say, you know what, I want 4 or 5 powerful prayer warriors that understand spiritual authority and can even do deliverance. I want them engaged with me in the investigation of drug trafficking that is laced with ritual satanic powers, or of cult crime that involved human death or sacrifice or ritual and has demonic powers behind it. You want to cut through the darkness? You got to have a bigger knife. Can I say it again? You want to cut through the darkness. What's going on around you? Jesus said to a group of disciples sitting there fellowshipping and eating, and they're with Jesus. What safer place, right? I've heard people say, listen, if you're in church, the devil can't get at you. What a lie that is. All it takes is one individual possessed or has a demon attached walk into the building. All they need is a legal entrance somewhere, and that's the problem. You know, the body of Christ, you can have 1,000 people there. Not everybody's a real believer. Not everybody's a true believer, let alone the infiltration that goes on. If you want to cut through real satanic darkness, you're going to need a bigger knife. Well, the Word of God is a double-edged sword. There it is. Christ and His authority, you can't get any higher than that. May the Spirit of God speak to all of us. May the Spirit of God speak to all of us in this urgent time. In this chapter 12, we've already said this week, the Word of God says that this Megos dragon, the fallen cherub, the huge work, the ancient serpent, the devil, leads the whole world astray. Well, here it talks about him also being hurled to the earth. There's a kind of prophetic word, rejoice you heavens, because of this victory. But woe, dread and angst, and warning to the earth. Devil has gone down to you. He's filled, listen now, filled with wrath, with a ferocious, angry, he's on a tirade. He is a bull in a china shop. And it's all because of one thing. Here's what God says. You can't find this among the New Agers. You can't find this from Nostradamus. A remote viewer cannot get this for you because it comes directly from God. Because he knows that his time is short. What's that all about? I put out in the newsletter that I would mention it Friday night about this issue. The fallen cherub. Do we understand? Once anointed, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, the desire, the five I wills, way beyond Nietzsche, the power of the will of a finite being to fight the infinite, immeasurable God. Well, he lost. Thou fool, the scripture talks about, cast down. Hear the idea, cast down. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. The idea of thrust down in defeat. Everyone who's a believer in Christ has at least heard that Jesus is returning. Creation itself knows there's going to be a culmination when Christ returns, the glorification of lives, and a new heaven and a new earth. Romans 8, even creation is sentient and knowledgeable enough to know that at the glorification and the day of that redemption, when Christ returns, they groan for that. They long, creation longs for it. You and I as believers, yeah, we can live our lives here and do so many things. You know, the pursuit isn't happiness. The pursuit is the mission of God. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 6:33. You know, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All the other things will be added. Either Christ is Lord of all the things, and we're pursuing and we're seeing that he's adding all the other things, and he does. Or we have turned that upside down and we're struggling and fighting to make our own way. And all of a sudden we're crying, where's God? Where's God? Listen, when you want to try to do God's will in your way, and find yourself out in the desert crying, where's God? Where's God? You know, that old thing that says, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Let's not be stupid about this, okay? Let's just simply move back. Come back under the lordship of Christ. Understand that the will of God is perfect and pleasing and good. There's no higher expression of good, perfect, and pleasing. God has it. In the Old Testament revelation of Isaiah 48, when God is saying, hey, I'm the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer, you know, who teaches you what is best and leads you the way you should go. If you haven't trusted God for all the living Christ as a believer, for all these things, don't you think it's about time? If the devil knows that his time is short because he knows the prophecies are infallible, irrevocable, and they come about, he knew the first time about the birth of Christ. He knows about the second coming, friends. He knows that Christ is returning. He knows by the signs of the times that time is short. The devil knows this. The devil knows this. And so he's frantically ramping up his agenda, which God already has given us a heads up about. All the contingencies, everything's all. You know, when God says, you know why it's getting bigger and broader and uglier out there? The devil knows his time is short. He's down here furious with wrath, with rage, with a he is working like a bull in a china shop to get his agenda done. Targets, political leadership worldwide. Targets, military leadership, weapons development. Keep looking at these four things. Here they are. Number one, supernaturalism, the development, the unprecedented development of supernaturalism from all places. In the skies, in the heavenlies, in space, ufologists, ancient Mayans, the ancient tech buildings and thing, a discovery, again, a pursuit and a doors opened, a massive supernaturalism that runs contrary to God and that spirituality that seeks to replace God. Now, that's one of the indicators of the very, very end of days prior to the rise of Antichrist, or his, at least his visible revelation of the world. On a global scale, supernaturalism, experiential supernaturalism that's real, that has events, that has experiences, that gives non-human enhancements to individuals, abilities, but runs counter to God. Number two, demonized people. Doesn't matter whether it's in Germany, Italy, France, England, United States, Canada, Australia, all around the world, Russia too. Russia's national security head was concerned about the infiltration of Satanism into law enforcement. Demonized individuals. The rise of Satanism is clear. We have a course on that. We give out 20-some one-hour training MP3s. If you buy the book, The Black Awakening, 100 hours of training. If you want to go to school, these are all things that I could teach at the local college. That's the way I set it up, as if I'm teaching at the local college. If you want to, you want to get that, 100 hours of materials on what I'm talking about comes with the book, The Black Awakening, which I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just telling you. You can tell me. It is unlike any book you have read. Content in there is not found in any book you have ever read. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. There's stuff there. So number two, the unprecedented rise of people that are seeking spirits, getting spirits, summoning spirits, obtaining spirits, ritual development, while the New Age movement is the largest alternative spiritual movement in the history of Christendom. Second greatest proliferation of occult literature in history, the first pre-Nazi Germany. Second largest proliferation of occult-oriented literature that opens the doors to all these spirits, the 60s, the United States of America. Demonization. Demonized people. Number three, the rise of globalism. Specific globalism. Though the majority of Luciferic globalism is under the surface, the precursors, ideologies in political realms, economics, military. Well, the fourth, destabilization, the expectation of collapse. It's all around us. We are at the end of this hour on July the 9th. God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.